This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, look who's here. It's old Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here on a Thursday. The days are melting and running together. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one today, certainly, for a multitude of reasons. We do appreciate you being here. We'll be talking Padres, Dodgers. We'll be talking probably nothing else for the next 5 hours on these airwaves, because that's what we do here. We've been with you, you know, the entire way, and certainly won't stop now. Won't run from anything. Just like this team isn't going to run from the challenge of a Game 5 at Dodger Stadium on Friday night. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Got your, I like that coat.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, I would say it's, would you say it's flashy? I was going to say flashy. Is it fur?
I was going to say fleecy.
Fleecy. Is it fleece or fur?
Fleecy.
If you wore a fur coat, that would be the greatest thing ever, by the way.
Full fur. Hey, guys, I'm fur coat guy.
Welcome
now.
In. I'm your fur coat laden producer. It looks very warm.
As I get ready to go to Palm Springs later, where it's 99 degrees.
I can't believe you're abandoning us in our time of desperate need, Paulie.
It's not my fault. Padres were supposed to wrap this up yesterday, and we all go off
yes,
into the weekend.
We go off in style. Well, welcome in, Paulie. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood hardworking sports anchor. I got a couple of texts from buddies yesterday that saw you out on the streets of downtown San Diego. My buddy Nick sent me, he goes, look at this guy. You're out there grinding. You got to be exhausted.
Tier 1s were amazing yesterday before the game as I was doing live shots at the Soleil at K at the bottom of the Marriott right outside Petco Park. And we're standing there, and it's really kind of the entrance corridor as people are going into the gate on that side of the ballpark. And like literally every 10 seconds, someone's yelling, love the show. Hey, Ben, how's it doing? Say hi to Woods for me. I mean, just constantly the entire broadcast. It makes me look really good to my colleagues at Channel 10.
He'll never admit it, but he hates that. Like, you're getting radio love on your television job?
No, I actually do love it now.
He likes it.
I do like it a lot. It makes me look good. Everyone at the, you know, our engineers, our photographers, Wale was there. Wale said, yeah, I get more people who come up to me and say, I heard you on that Ben and Woods show, and they say, I saw you on Channel 10. He goes, I'm anchoring every night.
It's because
people love when I came in and filled in for Woodsy that day. So, no, I had a pregame, had a great time. Obviously, during the game, there wasn't a lot of fun to be had, unfortunately, at Petco Park last night.
I guess if there's, you know, we could talk about some semi-bright spots. It's you know, it's always a tough part of the gig to come in after a game like that. But then again, man, it was not like it wasn't a 6-5 loss in extra innings or something. I mean, you know, it really kind of felt over pretty soon, and you started to come to the realization of, okay, there's going to be a game 5. At least we live to fight another day. And, you know, I had a Dodger fan tell me last night my tweet was copium. And I think that's probably a fair statement. I mean, what else do you do but cope when you get your ass handed to you at home last night? I mean, I think that's the fact that you live to fight another day is certainly a that's a bright spot. I mean, and we said that yesterday. I mean, so we're going to talk about the moves, the non-moves. Listen, and start by giving the Dodgers a lot of credit. Man, they're a good baseball team. They always have been. We've said that like a mantra. Yeah, man, I've talked mad smack about Dave Roberts. He managed his ass off last night. Period. They're a really, really good team. That's why they have home field advantage throughout. It's why they won the most games in baseball. The team with the second most wins in baseball got knocked out yesterday. The Phillies are going home. They're done, you know, for the season. So it has been a wild ride. This series has been a complete heavyweight fight. Just a total heavyweight fight. And the fact, you almost feel like we deserve a game five. Like, this series needed to go five.
I saw that sentiment a lot. I mean, you know, both teams have won a close game that the other team thought they had a chance to get. Both teams won a blowout by 8 runs, 10-2 for the Padres, 8-0 for the Dodgers. And here we are going to game five tomorrow night back at Dodger Stadium with the winner moving on and the loser heading to the offseason. And I think, like all Padres fans, I had my low moments last night,
Big time.
Feeling very discouraged. Like, is this the beginning of the end? Is this how it comes to an end? And honestly, I actually took until this morning when I got up and kind of evaluated how I felt. And I don't have any, you know, tangible statistics to tell you why I feel this way, but there's something in my heart that tells me, after everything that's happened this season, all the moments, all the good feelings, the coming together of the team, and Peter Seidler, that's not how it ends last night. You're not going to end with the worst, probably, home performance of the season. A game in which, honestly, fans never really had an opportunity to cheer.
No.
There was, Jackson Merrill made a nice catch out in the outfield.
Yeah.
Tommy's really double.
It was nice. After getting knocked down, he goes
I was saying that to
into
myself
the gap, but
all night long. I'm like, give this fan
there
this
just
fan base
wasn't
a reason.
I know people said, Padres fans didn't come. Well, there has to be a reason to cheer in a baseball game.
You're not just going to get loud when
it's
you're
not a football game where when the offense is, the opposing offense is on the field and it's third down and 7, you get loud. I mean, there's always a chance to cheer in a game like that. In a baseball game, when your team is down early and your offense never really threatens and you don't get the tying run to the plate at any point, after the first inning, there's just not a lot of chances to cheer and get into it and make it that atmosphere that we have come to know and love so much in October now at Petco Park. That's just the reality of it. The Dodgers took the Padres out of it early in the game, and they just never had that opportunity to get the fans into it.
And now you have the opportunity on Friday night to do the exact same thing. And the guys at the top of the order, they have to hit. And it starts with Luis Arraez. He's got to hit. He's the batting champion. You've got to hit. You've got to set the tone. I don't know how we want to structure this today, but there's a lot of I don't want to come in here and point fingers as well, but I'll tell you this, man. I was pretty disappointed with some of the responses I saw last night. Not going to tell you how to fan. You fan however you want. You spend your hard-earned money. You can quit on this team. You can. I'm not going to. They've given me way too many good moments this season to think that they're out of anything. You know, I did feel last night, the bullpen game, those are terrifying. And you saw it happen. The same thing happened. Detroit just did it to Cleveland yesterday. They used their best arms to go through and shred the Guardians lineup. Now, the Guardians lineup is not as formidable as ours, no question. And I saw a lot of people, they just weren't prepared for a bullpen game. I don't know how you do. I don't know how you prepare. When a starter's out there, you get a look at him. You see what he's throwing. You see his rhythm that he gets in with certain hitters, and you're like, okay, I can guess fastball, I can guess changeup, whatever. Guys coming in, different arm angles, different sides of the plate, different arms. It's a tough thing to prepare for.
Yeah, it's not excuse making, but one of the reasons good hitters are good hitters is because they are elite adjusters.
Correct.
And, when they're seeing guys, they get a look at them, and then the next time they've got a better strategy when they come to the plate. Well, against a bullpen game, that mitigates it a lot. You're getting one look at everybody, and even if you pick something up in an at-bat, if you, make an out, even if you hit it decently and you make an out, the Padres hit some balls hard. Manny's, I thought, was going to be a home run for sure.
Everybody
could not believe that did not go out. But then you got to do it all over again with a completely different person the next game. And I fully do expect the Dodgers will employ that similar strategy in game five. There's no reason not to. The only difference is now, the Padres have had another day of looking at all of these guys, and, they won't be quite as unfamiliar, or it'll just be a continuation essentially of game four. They may go with Yamamoto starting the game, but he's not going, you know, six innings or anything. You know, they probably are happy if they get two or three from a starter, quote unquote starter, and then it's those same guys one after another that you're going to see in Game Five that you saw in Game Four.
Yeah, I started the show by saying you got to give credit to the Dodgers. They really, really. I mean, every time you thought, okay, maybe we can counter here. No, you couldn't. Dave had a guy ready to go, and those guys came in and did their jobs. Now, you know, you just get the sense that there's no way, if you're Dave Roberts, they're going to employ the exact same strategy. And they may even employ the exact same strategy, the exact one. You may see exactly what you saw. You get the lineup you want if you're Dave Roberts, if you play coy about what you're going to do. And I don't know, man. I think there's a couple of different things we can talk about. But, you know, Dylan Cease has not been good. Dylan Cease did not set a good tone last night. Again, against a really good team. A team that was missing Freddie Freeman, though, you know, which changes the equation, moves Teoscar up. I said yesterday, if Kike Hernandez isn't in the lineup, then Dave Roberts should be fired. Like, Kike Hernandez brings a tremendous spark to that offense. That's exactly what they did. Tommy Edman played short with Rojas being out. So, look, man, it was a tough one. We're going to be here for you. We'll talk about all of it this morning. But I picked a really bad night to you know, watch the game. And then I'm laying in bed, and I just was thinking about the game, thinking about the series and winner take all. I slept for maybe 2 hours, dude. I woke up this morning. I was like that. I felt like I got hit by a train. So we'll be here. We have a roundtable after the show today. We'll be talking about this again. And let's break it all down.
Absolutely. All right, we'll set the menu when we come back. It's a fairly one-note menu. I will tell about the guest we do have planned later in the day. I bet if you listen to enough Men and Woods, you can guess who it is on a Thursday. But we'll set it all up for you when we come back. Kelly's got traffic. I still love how many people we've got already in our YouTube stream. I was wondering, like, will the loss discourage Padres fans? You are very hard to discourage. And
you
that
are.
Is and that is a great thing, Padres fans. We love you out there. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be right back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, Benny, we've got a junior program director, our buddy Hector. I think he's a Dodger fan. In the chat, he said, should Ben and Woods go live on Saturday? And trust me, our boss Adam is probably contemplating how to ask us today. If I were him, I'd wait till tomorrow.
There's no game on Saturday. Next game will be on Sunday.
No, go live on Saturday.
Right. Not Sunday before game one of the NLCS at Petco Park. That makes sense. Like a pre-game show.
Either win or lose.
Oh, they're going to win.
I think they're going to win.
I'm planning my life. I truly am. Just to be clear, I am very much planning my life, expecting they're going to win the game tomorrow.
Yeah, you have to.
And I have we'll have games on Sunday and Monday at Petco Park, and then possibly a flight to New York on Tuesday for games 3, 4, and 5 of a series against the Mets. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at Citi Field, and then if necessary, back to Petco Park for the following Sunday and Monday. Obviously, I know it's sports and, you know, anything can happen and the Padres can definitely lose the game tomorrow, but in my mind, like the way I see it playing out, they are going to win tomorrow. So what do you want to do when they win tomorrow? What's your plan? Do you want to go live on Saturday? I figure
either or.
I figure I figure Sunday. I don't know what exactly the game time would be. Usually they're around 5 o'clock. The NLCS games, I think. So my guess would be 4 o'clock. Sammy Leavitt pregame show. So something in the afternoon hours on Sunday would be when I would think I'd want to go on the air.
Yeah, I'm down to do whatever. I want to be here for the Padres fans, certainly. But if I'm Adam, I'm not. Don't ask me today. Ask me tomorrow. You know, maybe ask me after the game. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not immediately after the game.
Give you
a little time. Decompress one way or the other.
In the ultimate irony, by the way, the ultimate irony of all this. We told you guys about credential gate that happened last week when Adam said he made a mistake, did not get Paulie and I credentials for the CS and the World Series. You know, obviously you got to win this series. You got one more game to win. And then he called me yesterday. He goes, hey, I fixed it. And I said, you SOB, you did it. You got it. You got it done. Now we may not need them. You never know. You never know. You got one more chance to get it.
Better to be prepared.
Yeah. So Cole says, please don't leave us hanging for 10 hours. I said, no, all right, we'll figure something out for Saturday. But yeah, you'll be going up to the game. You have to go work it for Channel 10.
I believe
10.
So, yeah. We're going to make our plans today, exactly how that's going to work tomorrow. But I do expect to be at Dodger Stadium tomorrow night. And then probably driving back tomorrow night late. Like, late. Stinking of champagne. I was wondering what that looks like if you get pulled over on the drive home from Dodger Stadium to San Diego, and you and your photographer are absolutely just reeking of champagne. And the officer goes, you see your license and registration? It smells. And it's like, you guys are just soaked in booze.
You're like, I swear to God, I have not had nothing.
I have not drank a drop of it. I was simply in the winning locker room at Dodger Stadium for the Padres, and that's why I smell like this,
last
officer.
Last week, after they won the wild card round, I was down in the clubhouse, and I drove home that night and made it about 20 minutes north and had to pull off for gas. And so I get out of the car. When I get back in, that's when it really hits. Like, I'm like, my entire car reeks of Budweiser and champagne mix. Oh, I got in. I was like, ugh.
I'm sure the officer, I've heard that story before.
Right. He's
you didn't drink any of it. You simply got sprayed by it. I get it. We're going to need you to get out of the car, sir.
He looks at you.
And then they have you do the sobriety, field sobriety test, yeah, which I couldn't pass right now.
No,
I can't walk in a straight line ever. I'm a crooked walker. It's just I don't walk
straight.
Say
the alphabet backwards.
I have no idea. Z, Y, X.
Yep.
W.
Don't do this. Please don't do this live on the air.
V,
I can't do it, Tim. My nerves are shot. I can't do this. Turn his mic off. Turn his mic off. I can't do this.
Q. P.
O.
P, M. N. L. Oh, that's good. K. Yeah. K.
Yep.
J.
Yep.
I. H.
I'm gonna die right now.
G. F. E. D. CBA.
Yeah, ooh, there you go. Nailed it.
You think that's going to get me out of an arrest if I can do that in 47 seconds? We need a song for the backwards alphabet. It's so easy when you've got the song forward.
I failed a sobriety test sober once. Yeah, they're not easy to do.
So that's my biggest concern right now for Friday night is getting home safely from Dodger Stadium after the celebration. Honestly, so we're going to have Eno Saris coming up at 8:35 this morning for some smart baseball and get his thoughts. Otherwise, we're focused in on Padres, Dodgers, and the baseball playoffs. But before we even get to our Padres wrap-up in our next segment and the highlights, lowlights, I want to revisit the decision to start Dylan Cease.
Sure.
It was the biggest topic of the last day. Mike Shildt deciding to go with Dylan Cease on 3 days rest. And I thought, pretty obviously, it didn't work. Not because Dylan Cease was too tired, certainly had plenty of velocity, but the command wasn't good. I mean, it was on some pitches, but unfortunately, on the home run pitch, was right down the middle to Mookie Betts in the first inning. You can't walk Gavin Lux in the second inning. You can't put guys on at the bottom of the lineup to bring Shohei Ohtani up. We saw that in game one. It's the recipe for losing. And he did the same thing that kind of happened in game one. And Mike Shildt had to go out and have that early hook. But honestly, after the game, Mike Shildt talked about it, and he did not share everyone else's general opinion of Dylan Cease.
I thought the stuff was coming out really good. He's throwing 100. Slaughter was good. They just put good swings on him, And once Ohtani got through, he's at 38 pitches. He's got one out in the second. Just felt like the appropriate time. We had some guys that we trust in our bullpen, and that was the equation.
Did you think his stuff was, like, normal? It wasn't unaffected by the short rest? And it just,
I don't. I mean, everything we've measured by, those are some pretty good hitters. They put some good swings on him. They had good at-bats with him. The other start he had. I mean, the guy's throwing 100, AJ. you tell me I can start a guy throwing 100 with a good slider, I'm going to take that guy every time. They put some swings on him. Mookie got a ball 3-2. They got out of the ballpark, and That was about as simple as that. And all the measurables that, you know, we get in, and as far as like the life on the ball, graded out A+.
Fine, maybe the stuff was unaffected. Command seemed to be affected, and I think that Shilt being Shilt there a little bit, not going to throw a player under the bus in a post-game news conference and go, yeah, he just didn't have it today, especially in a playoff situation. You know, if you move on, you're going to need Dylan Cease to, you know, pitch again and hopefully pitch better, so you don't want to do anything to torch a guy's confidence. So I was not surprised by that. I think what you will be surprised by is that despite the fact that Dylan Cease wasn't very good, I still think it was the right decision to 100%. Pitch him on 3 days rest.
100%. We could do this all day. I'm sure we will on the round table as well. But yeah, man. I mean, this is why you got Dylan Cease. Hey, and yeah, I know that his numbers against the Dodgers and all that. But when you have a guy like Dylan Cease with that kind of stuff, look, man, he did not set a good tone last night. He just didn't. And when the Dodgers get to hit first and they throw three up in the first, it's tough, very, very tough. But can't win with zero. You know, you can't win with zero. The offense is a huge, huge concern. Talk about that, certainly.
Here's the hidden thing, though, that none of us talked about yesterday. I did kind of have it in my mind, but I don't want to bring it out into the universe. Dylan Cease is the most, at this point now, most unproven of the Padres playoff starters.
Oh,
he's made now three career playoff starts, one for the White Sox, two for the Padres. None of them have been good.
Correct.
Even Michael King now has a really good playoff start under his belt. Yu Darvish has done it before, obviously. He's done it in this postseason. But Dylan Cease is the one guy you're not sure about. You probably, if you're Mike Shilt, you feel good about him and you like his, you know, makeup and his attitude. But there are guys who have struggled. If you're going to pitch a guy like that, and you're not 100% sure, even tiny seed of doubt, you want him to go in game four and not game five.
Bro, no question about it, man. Oh, my God. Now, again,
if they had pitched Martin Perez, which, you know, maybe he would have pitched well and kept the Padres in the game better than Dylan Cease. I mean, if you don't score, it's not going to make a difference. But who do you go with in game five? My suspicion is they would have stuck with their rotation and the guy that they acquired for this situation. They would have pitched Dylan Cease tomorrow. And I don't know that having another day or two of rest would have changed Dylan Cease at all. And you may have found out the fact that he struggled again in a very, very bad time when there is no coming back from a bad performance in a game five. At least there is the opportunity to come back from a bad performance in game four and throw Yu Darvish onto the mound. That's why they did it, because they knew if he doesn't pitch well, we can go to Yu Darvish on regular rest in game five. It was part of the strategy to pitch Dylan Cease yesterday, knowing you have a plan in place for game five.
So let me ask you this. Given all of that, and the conversation for the morning is going to be, you know, should it have been Perez or Cease?
Could have, should have, would have, yeah.
Were you surprised to not see Perez come in for like a long relief stint yesterday?
A little bit.
And maybe save the bullpen for Friday?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, why, if he's not, you know, he's on the roster for a reason. Save it, though. Let's talk about it next.
All right, we will get into all of that. We got plenty of time to discuss this one. We will start with our Padres wrap-up, get into the highlights, and don't forget, as Woodsy has mentioned before, we are here all the way until 11 o'clock. You can join us for the Padres Roundtable this morning at 10 as we discuss everything Padres postseason. Brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Absolute pizza royalty. That's 10 to 11 this morning here on 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back with more Ben and Woods on a Thursday morning. I feel like there's a Dodger fan in our chat, which is fine. There always is.
There always is. Welcome in, guys.
Hector, good morning. I see him encouraging the Padres to try to pitch Dylan Cease again on one day rest. See, that's my point. That's why I thought start Dylan Cease yesterday, because the Dodgers don't want to see him, and now they do want to see him, so now you don't start him in game five. Perfect. Perfect strategy.
Two
you
starts.
Might think I'm nuts.
No, I don't. I don't think you're nuts, Mike. Two starts, a 14.
You start Dylan Cease on one day rest, I'm going to say you're nuts.
You're dug in at that point.
Like, I've also seen.
No, I'm rolling with him.
I've also seen Padres fans go, well, why didn't the Padres do a bullpen day? Their bullpen is so good, and they kind of did, but they didn't. They didn't pitch Abeck, who's been their closer for you know, much of the last couple of months of the season. Come in when?
Third
inning?
Yeah, third inning.
Yeah, they were very aggressive, which is a strategy that when you get an early lead and want to hold on to it and you score some runs, thought was really good. Now, had the Padres kept it like 0-0 and you're using every high leverage arm and all of a sudden it's 0-0 in the ninth and you're down to the your last, you know, relievers in the bullpen, you might have regretted that. But the Dodgers made it work for them. That strategy was precisely what they needed in a bullpen game to get through it. Hey, credit again to the LA Dodgers. They definitely, I think they did more right than the Padres did wrong yesterday in the game.
Yeah, I mean, we had our mistakes, certainly. And again, for me, yeah, you can't... We have a wrap-up we're going
to
do?
All right, we're going to get to the wrap-up.
Then let's talk about this.
All right, we will check traffic, and then we'll come back with our Padres wrap-up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
3-2 to Bet. Swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Jackson Merrill racing back on the track. At the wall, this one going to go into the Padre bullpen. And for the second consecutive night, Mookie Betts, a first-inning home run, and the Dodgers lead it 1-0. First pitch. Hit hard and through into right field, a base hit. Arise dove to his right, couldn't get there. Lux comes in to score as Fernando fires into third base. Ohtani with an RBI single, and the Dodger lead is now 2-0. First pitch from Hoeing, and Betts hits it on a line into right field. That's a base hit. Rounding third, Kike Hernandez on his way. Fernando comes up throwing, not in time. RBI single, Mookie Betts. And 3-0 Dodgers in the second. Here's the 1-1 pitch. And Smith hits it in the air to deep center field. Merrill having to go straight back. All he's going to be able to do is watch. This is up onto the batter's eye. A long two-run homer for Will Smith. That is his first hit of the series. And the Dodger lead is now 5-0. At the heart of the order, due up. 0-2 to Hernandez. Grounded towards third base. Manny can't get there. Hits the umpire, Ripperger. Manny picks it up. Fires home. Higashioka's got it. Tags Ohtani out. And the Padres catch a huge break. The third base umpire, Ripperger, was pointing fair. The ball hit his hand and basically ricocheted right to Machado. 1-2. Muncy reaches for it, sends it in the air to right center field, high and deep. Merrill is back. He's at the wall in right center, leaps up, and he makes the catch. Came down, banged into the wall in right center field. Jackson Merrill, we're going to hang a star here at Petco Park. What a play by the rookie center fielder to go back and take away extra bases from Max Muncy. Bucks one out of two with an infield single, a walk and a run scored. Goes after the first pitch. It's a deep to right field. Fernando's back at the wall. It hits off the top of the wall and goes out for a two-run homer. Third run of the inning for the Dodgers here in the seventh. And just like that, it's 8-0. 2-2 the pitch. Higashioka swings, pops it up. Behind second base on the outfield grass, the shortstop Edmund calling for it. He will make the catch, and the ball game is over. 8 Dodger pitchers combine on the shutout as LA will send themselves home for the deciding Game 5 of this National League Division Series. An 8-0 win here at Petco Park.
I'm already excited for Friday. How fun's that going to be? missed opportunity, a chance to close it out, didn't. Move on, play Game 5, winner take it.
Well, I'm glad he's already excited for Friday.
Excited is a weird choice of words, man. It certainly is. And yeah, you know, I saw a lot yesterday about people being at Petco Park and the vibes being off, and I think you nailed it, Benny. You got to give your home crowd something to cheer for. And, you know, didn't we start that game off with a, you know, Cease got Ohtani.
Him to ground out to second.
Got
two strikes, then got him to ground out to second. I was still outside the ballpark at the time, and I heard the roar, and I'm going,
what
that is a loud roar for a ground out to second base. So the crowd was in it for one batter.
And then
the second batter of the game, Mookie Betts, homered.
Well, and listen, you know, I've been saying it like a mantra. He's really... as great as Shohei is, and Shohei did end up coming through last night, if you keep Mookie Betts down, you have a really good chance of winning that game. They've got good players up and down the lineup, certainly, but Mookie Betts was going to be a key, and he's really hit some balls hard on the screws, got robbed by Profar, as we know. But, like, he's a really great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's a great, great player, and he's not going to stay down forever. So
that's three straight games, and the first inning, he has hit a ball over the fence.
That's exactly right. One of them got brought back, and two of them did not. Right. So, you know, he's much maligned by Dodger fans, much maligned. I honestly think we have more respect for Mookie Betts than his actual fan base.
Is he their Manny Machado?
He's their Manny Machado, 100%. 100%. No question. And you know, doesn't have the same
Otani's more their Tatis,
yeah,
in terms of, you know, the spectacular, mm-hmm, you know, maybe probably the best player hitter, but Betts is their Machado in terms of as they go, as he goes, they go.
That's, know, exactly right. And you saw what's happened to them in the postseason before with him not doing anything. So, once he gets going, it's like, okay, now they're a really, really scary team. And, you know, don't buy this mess, man. Do not buy what so many Dodger fans are selling, you know, that this is, they're not a good team and they're, you know, choking in October, whatever. Like, again, they were the best team in baseball. Like, it's a game five. Don't be surprised that they pushed you to a game five. I know they're hurt. So are we, you know, and we've got guys not performing at all offensively that have to get it going.
So the Padres fall behind 1-0 in the first inning. Then in the second inning, we talked a little bit about it. Cease gets in trouble with the walk to Lux, the Kike Hernandez single at the bottom of the order, but he has a chance to get out of that inning, or Mike Schilt can make an early call and lift him, let him face Shohei Ohtani, and Ohtani beat him with the RBI single, made it 2-0. Then he brought in Brian Hoeing, who quickly, on first pitch, I think, gave up another Mookie Betts single, just poked at the right side to make it 3-0. I saw some question, hey, if you were going to take out Dylan Cease that quickly, why did you let him face Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a righty up. I don't disagree with that call in that he got Ohtani the first time. Do you want him a chance to get him a second time, or are you going to give him a Hoeing to face in that situation? Now, right, had he had a lefty up, if he was going with Morahone there, then obviously you make the switch early. But the one thing that Mike Schilt did say before the game was that Dylan Cease wasn't like on a pitch count. This wasn't like going to be a 30-pitch start, but that's exactly what it ended up being, a 38-pitch start for Dylan Cease. He had a very quick hook and was ready to go to his bullpen. Not that that was the wrong decision, but he was clearly looking for a reason to take out Dylan Cease fairly early in that game, and he got enough reasons in his own mind. He may say that stuff looked good, but he felt confident enough that he made that move in the second inning. Obviously, he couldn't have been that enthused by what he was seeing against Dylan Cease yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, man, we'll talk about it some more. I just want everybody to know, I think if you're in here, and we said, quote, yesterday, I'm not going to come in here tomorrow. I did. I'm not coming in here tomorrow if it doesn't go well and second-guessing that move to start Dylan Cease. I'm just not. You know, you summed it up pretty well, Benny. And I think when you get a guy like Dylan Cease, that's what you need him for. Now, I have let myself think, okay, if you find a way to get through LA in LA, which you've played well there, and you hit some prodigious home runs there the other night, ball travels a little bit better there than it does here. Manny's ball last night, 100% out in LA. You know, man, we're not going anywhere. If Dylan Cease can't get it, it's not going anywhere as a team. You're really not. You need more than you, Darvish, and Michael King to be serviceable starters to go out and beat the Mets. He's got to get it together. So you need to pick him up on Friday night and give him another opportunity. He's not been good in his two starts. Now, again, he's going up against a really good team, and they've got his number. But you're not going anywhere if he doesn't get it together. So you're not going to not pitch him. That's why you got him, to go out and win those games. He didn't get the job done. It happens.
Can we all agree that the solution was not Martin Perez coming out and throwing 7 shutout innings, and this game is 0-0 going to the 10th?
Correct.
That is an alternate universe that I don't think actually exists.
Okay, so play that tape forward. Martin Perez, who, by the way, looking at the numbers against him, the Dodgers are hitting 400 off him with an 1,100 OPS. I like Martin Perez. I don't know honestly why he wasn't used last night. After,
instead, would you have rather had him instead of Hoeing?
Him instead of everybody. Wear this. You're on the roster.
Well, you don't wear it when you're down 1-0.
No, not one nothing. So, but they were down 3-0 after.
Yeah, I mean, and they brought in Morahone and Estrada.
Yeah,
who and Morahone hadn't pitched much. He pitched well. Kept it 3-0. I mean, kept it 5-0. But that was
So once you're at 5 runs,
Hoeing made it 5-0.
Yeah,
and I didn't have a problem with going with Hoeing there. I was expecting Hoeing to be the first guy.
Then Perez,
kind of out of the pen. Yeah, you could have gone with Perez, but why do you not want Morahone to pitch though?
I don't want him to pitch. I mean, he's a 1-inning guy.
He did 2 innings. He got 2 shutout innings. There was nothing wrong with putting Morahone in. I didn't have a problem with putting Estrada in after that.
Not really.
The game's already 5-0 at that point.
Why is Perez on the roster?
Extra innings.
That's it?
I think so.
You're not going to use him in a blowout?
I think he's there after you've used all your other bullpen guys and you need length in a potential extra inning game. That's why he's on the roster, apparently.
Right. Well, listen, hindsight being 20/20, I still don't think you start Martin Perez yesterday.
No.
Now, if you wanted to do what Dave Roberts did last night, and I got to tell you, man, Schulte's probably really, really tired of seeing bullpen games because he hasn't fared well against them in the postseason. We did it to him in St. Louis with Craig Stammen starting. So I don't know, man. Is that the best way to attack that Dodger lineup is to do something like that last night? That's something we can kick
around.
But
a full bullpen game still involves probably a Brian Hoeing inning or two at some point. You're not getting a full bullpen game with just Tanner Scott and Jason Adam and Robert Suarez. You're going to have to go to some other guys who've been pretty good for you, but they weren't completely shut down yesterday. Dodgers guys were all shut down yesterday.
Well, let's talk, too, about the real concern of the San Diego Padres right now as it stands today. It's the offense. It's the offense that has been so good this entire season. The offense that you really expected to continue to be good. They're not hitting right now.
They scored in one inning.
One inning. 18 home innings. You've scored in one inning. You know, you did hang a 6 spot, but that's not going to work.
You got a lot of lucky breaks in that 6 spot.
You did, man. You did. You had some mental mistakes by the Dodgers to help you get ahead. So they got a hit. Luis Arraez has got to set the table. The one thing I'll ask you guys, do you make some changes with the lineup? Because I absolutely do at this point. I absolutely 100% make a couple of changes in this lineup.
I'm going to ask that question in the roundtable. Like, what's your game 5 move to shake things up? But I'm not saying that we can't talk about it. I was definitely, does it help at all that Arraez and Profar both got hits in their last at-bats? Maybe.
The Arraez one, I go, okay, fine. Like, get it going a little bit, build off those good vibes. But, man, at that point, the game's so far out of hand. But, yeah, I mean, yes, obviously, you want to give him that confidence. I think Mookie Betts' home run robbery helped Mookie Betts. I think it absolutely did. You're like, I hit that ball on the screws. I hit that ball out of the ballpark. He made a great play on me, but I got to keep doing what I'm doing. I think it can help.
The change that you're making, you have other guys who have been struggling at the bottom of the order. I mean, Jake has 3 hits in the last 2 games. Are you moving him up?
No, I'm not necessarily moving him up.
I mean, Peralta's not, he's had a couple hits, but he's not a top of the order guy. You don't have a lot of options to move up in the order. I assume you want to move some guys down in the order, but you don't have a lot of options to move up in the order.
You can flip-flop 2 guys, I think.
Okay.
You want me to wait?
Please, share with us when we come back as we get into hour number 2 of Ben and Woods breaking down last night's game 4, 8-0 loss to the LA Dodgers. Game 5 is tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. We are coming back right here on San Diego's home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.